22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Weekend's almost here. But we're about to empower you, so don't just, you know, chill out just yet. We're here to really, really, get you some information that's going to make a difference. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some deadly assumptions. Yeah, we all make those assumptions, and sometimes we wish we hadn't. Also, we're going to talk about maybe how we can do some anti-aging on the natural level, and you know, stuff that kind of works and not going to break the bank, and we'll see how much time we have for other things. And we got a pretty good-sized quack report tonight. But before we do all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. And I'm hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face. Hope you are, too. And today's devotional, we're in chapter 14 of Proverbs, And basically, we're going to learn that a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. And the righteous exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Absolutely. So if you're not seeking the Lord's face and getting in that word and developing that relationship with the Lord, now's the time, because that's the way. That's right. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Hey, thanks, Frank. I heard the quackers today. All right, first up in the quacker, new study proves undeniable connection between vaccines and autism. I'm not kidding. This is a report that's in the Public Health Agency. It's coming out of Canada. They released their first national autism-related data since 2016, and it showed this steady rise in the prevalence of autism disorders in the 3 years since, within the years since 2003. So the rates varied by location, so they compared their data report, which was taken from the Canadian National Autism Spectrum Surveillance System, and also the Public Health Agency's vaccine coverage data. So they broke it down into provinces and also the vaccine types that were given, and what it showed them was autism was prevalent in greater amounts where the vaccine rates were the highest. Okay, so that's getting some transparency here. Moving along in the quack report, scientists warning, hey, you know that CRISPR technology where they edit your genes? Well, hold on there. Where's my cartoon? Hold on there, boy. Foghorn Leghorn, love that guy. They have found this technology, which was so promising an advancement, two shocking studies have confirmed. One was by the Karolinska Institute, and the other study was done by Novartis Pharmaceutical, and it kind of shook things up across the CRISPR gene editing industry world. It turns out that being granted CRISPR status tech, both these studies, actually these studies were published in the Journal of Nature. Well, they showed that when you have your genes edited, human genes, okay, could cause cancer in a whole generation of humans, what they discovered. Uh-oh. All right, and we're going to get into reasons why, you know, you stumble across new data on research in our first segment. We're going to be talking about assumptions. All right, I get this. This is next up in the Quack Report. They say life is more stressful today, so humans need more sleep. Yeah. So, we're kind of told, the optimum healthy amount of sleep was 8 hours for adults, right? Well, now they're saying that's a misconception. Penn State researchers have suggested you need 8.5 hours of sleep. You do. Why do you need the extra 30 minutes? Well, because they say that you're only going to get 90% of your sleep. That's the actual time that you're actually sleeping in your bed. So even if you're in bed 8 hours, they say, you're only going to get 7.5 because it takes you a little while to get to sleep. So they're saying, most people tend to catch up on their sleep on the weekends, but they say that's not ideal. According to their researchers there, they said stress in our environment and our external need to work all the time, because technology connects us with everything, it's driving up the fact that we're sleeping poorly these days, not sleeping good. We're having trouble shutting down. So some of the things that can help promote better sleep would be, you want to keep a good regular sleep schedule. You want to prepare your brain for sleep 90 minutes before you go to bed. Get away from your electronics, okay? They say get away from things that cause more stress. Also, learn to meditate. That helps, they said, as well as keep your bedroom for sleep and, sex only. Don't have computers in there and stuff like that. They say cut out the nightcap, because alcohol is a neurological stimulant. And they say avoid other stimulants like caffeine and smoking before going to bed. And be active during your day. So get regular exercise. It promotes better sleep. And create a perfect sleep environment. They say regulate that room temperature and the light in the room. Make sure your temperature is not too hot or too cold. And choose your sleeping partner carefully. You know, people that snore kind of keep you up. And also avoid sleep aid drugs like the plague because they create insomnia in the long run. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report. This is research. This is research. Where's this coming out of? United States, Ohio State psychology researchers. They say religious people live longer. That's what they're saying. They say there's this correlation between longevity and religious faith. They say churchgoers appear to live up to 4 times longer than atheists, at least according to their analysis of 1,000 obituaries that were published in the United States. So this is a researcher coming out of Ohio State. They say that people with religious affiliations, they tend to volunteer and engage in a lot of social activities throughout their lives and something routinely tied to living longer. And they also found that this socializing only appeared to boost longevity, but by about a year. So they said the rest of the longevity was a religious element. If you have a religious element in your life, they say people tend to not drink as much alcohol or which could contribute to shortening your lifespan. They also said religious people live 9.45 years longer than atheist peers, but that shrunk to 6.48 years when they took into consideration gender and marital status. So there you go. A little faith going to make you live longer. That wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about these deadly assumptions. You probably know somebody that assumes too much. I can still remember back in the 70s, the Odd Couple show, and those two guys that played on the Odd Couple show. I think Oscar was mad at Felix for assuming too much, and so he wrote assume on a chalkboard, and he underlined the first three letters, which spelled out ass. And then he said, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, because that's how you spell assume. But anyway, the definition of assumption is to accept as true or as certain without any proof. Now, some might suggest that an educated guess or a theory is an assumption. So here's a question. What percentage of scientific medicine is merely an assumption without any hard proof supporting treatment? And what percentage of Americans assumes doctors have the answers and treatments which can heal people of serious disease? All good questions. And the results may shock you, actually. So we're going to check this out. We're actually going to go to the horse's mouth because, you know, I think it's important to check out what the scientific-minded experts have to say to help answer some of these questions. Now, for instance, in 2005, the U.S. National Library of Medicine and Institutes of Health published a report titled, Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. So an investigation was launched because of the growing concern that research scientists and physicians were changing data results in order to present a positive outcome for more funding for their research or for various accolades in their profession. So research in medicine affects patients, and we are really not talking about honest mistakes, but willful deception. So falsifying research that would trickle down to highly influence patient treatments for personal gain really should be a criminal offense. So there is also the problem of scientists setting up studies improperly or inadequately that cause results to be affected. Here is a quote from John Ioannis. He's with the Department of Hygiene and Epidemiology at the University of Medicine, Greece, and also the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institutes of Health. He says, simulations show that for most study designs and settings, it is more likely for research claims to be false than true. Moreover, in many current scientific fields, the claimed research findings may be from prevailing bias, end of quote. Now, I want to read you also two more astonishing but sobering statements. This is also from John Ioannis. He says, it is impossible to know with 100% certainty what the truth is in any research. In this regard, the gold standard is unattainable, end of quote. And also Richard Smith, he's a biophysicist and former editor of the British Medical Journal. He says, most scientific studies are wrong, and they are wrong because scientists are interested in funding and careers rather than truth. Now, that right there is astonishing to hear. Well, and let's look at what's normal in science, because it is a real shocker for scientists to kind of come out and bash their own industry. Now, according to Richard Smith, he says, quote, being wrong in research is normal for science, end of quote. Now, he describes an industry that has an extensive theory graveyard. So theories are always being adjusted, and new data can actually destroy them. For instance, the CRISPR research we just stated in the Quack Report. So he reminds us that theories are not hardcore facts, but merely a best guess. Therefore, medical science is a working theory. And scientists and physicians understand this, but patients rarely grasp the importance. So at any moment, new data can make hundreds of treatments obsolete, or even worse, prove the treatments were detrimental. Well, let's read another quote by Richard Smith. He says, scientists can be biased, and that most scientific theories, in the end, are thrown on the garbage heap, end of quote. Wow. Well, let's look at what they're not discarding. I mean, you know, if most of this is, you know, theory and it's inaccurate, what's being thrown out and what's being kept? Well, scientists like Leonis and Smith make really good points about what happens to the bad research that was turned into multi-million dollar industries, right? Does scientific medicine own up to the mistake down the road and dismantle the money machine they created? Well, they might, if they had an acceptable, lucrative replacement. If not, I highly doubt the halls of medicine would turn off the money tap. You know, sad but true. Let's look at some testing results, because reporter and author Richard Harris, he revealed that animal trial tests for drugs often have different outcomes when used by humans. So why are mice and other lab animals used in medicine to test drugs? Because we've been told that they have metabolisms closest to humans and they make a good stand-in prototype. Well, according to anthropologist Todd Prius of Emory University, he says, quote, the truth is, initially, scientists were studying rats and mice to better understand them and not for the purpose of becoming lab animals, end of quote. And he goes on to say, rats are not generic mammals, and scientists were sold on the assumption that they could use them to learn about the human system to cure almost any disease by testing the animals. So rats and humans are not the same, and they have no similar features. So Todd Prius goes on to say, It should come as no surprise that a drug that works in a mouse or a rat often does not work in a person. However, by the time this became evident, there were entire scientific industries built upon this assumption and tremendous pressure to keep the status quo. Additionally, there were decades of disease studies that were done on the same type of animal, and funding agencies and journals expected to see this. Therefore, it is suspected that there are thousands of studies built upon prior faulty research. End of quote. I mean, I had no idea. I really didn't think about it. Frank, did you think about rats, lab rats and mice being a total industry in themselves within, you know, science? I didn't even think about that. It's okay. So the scientific culture is kind of riddled with assumptions that are most likely an error. So why doesn't someone like stop this train? The rat and mice industry for scientific research is big business and often provided by universities. Yeah, they have these, you know, lab mills, and they're full of rats. So we're told that hundreds of facilities nationwide provide these animals for research, so rats and mice are not the only animals that are raised for experimental use. Now, one company called River Laboratories made $90 million last year, and there are six other such labs just like them in the U.S. So they are selling highly manipulated genome mice with tailored breeds costing about $100 to $200 a piece. Anybody want to just throw up a red flag on that? Yeah, this is a highly controlled industry, and it's offering lab animals that are obviously not the same genetically as the first generation of lab animals used by science. Think about that for a minute. Well, Todd Priya says this, with regard to the level of manipulation in the lab animals sold to research and trying to control everything possible, as a result, they learn absolutely nothing, end of quote. And Gregory Petsko, he's a neuroscientist with Weill Cornell Medical College. He says this, scientists make far too many assumptions about the underlying biology of disease when creating animal models. It is probably only when you try your treatments on people that you will have any idea how right your assumptions were. He goes on to say, in scientific research, the assumptions are often poor or misleading. Scientists have been led astray for years by relying heavily on animal models. Mice and rats are not simplified humans, and science should stop thinking that they are. However, breaking the culture that is hampering them is hard, with, you know, many afraid it would backfire on them. However, if we want a better understanding of disease and treatments for disease, it must be done, end of quote. So it is fair to say that a majority of your scientific research is flawed, and the industry has been built upon this foundation, and it could be the reason disease management is, instead of cures, is the result. Think about it. Well, and I got a break coming up, but before we do that, we're going to go to Once Upon a Time. This is not a bedtime story, but, you know, remember the family physician, you know, medicine in general, you know, kind of has been revered profession, you know, in Americana. You know, Americans for decades, you know, trusted their doctor. People absolutely trusted the doctor and did what they were told regarding their treatments. However, reports show the trust that Americans once had in their doctors is declining. So information is easier to come by compared to the 1940s and 50s. So people are confirming doctor recommendations. And if they don't feel comfortable with what they find, they question the doctor's recommendations. And then they seek maybe an alternative solution. So according to this report that wound up in the New York Times, January 23rd, 2018, there is a growing distrust with regards to medicine. So according to their report, in 1966, 75% of the U.S. population had unshakable confidence in their medical doctors. They relied and depended on them, especially during emergencies and pandemics. Today, that number of Americans with that same level of trust has dropped to 34%. And here are some of the things that have weakened that trust. The cost and the red tape regarding healthcare, the vaccine effectiveness and the doubts, obviously manufacturers are exempt from liability, on-demand access to information on medical procedures and drug side effects, as well as personal experience, and the technology replacing patient-doctor relationships, as well as questioning practitioners' motives, you know, conflicts of interest, and the medical research fraud, the no transparency or accountability, the corruption, as well as outrageous costs on medicine, as well as questioning the motives of government and healthcare system as a whole, and, of course, mandated health insurance. This has all contributed to people not trusting, quote, quite as they used to. New York Times says this, in recent disease outbreaks, less than one-third of Americans trusted what their health officials said, stating the information shared was incomplete and not accurate. A mere 14% trust that the government will do what is right. You know, trust is a factor in your health care. Healthcare is a relationship, you know, because it involves your well-being. So there's got to be some trust there. So trust is a good indicator if patients will be complacent or compliant with recommended treatments. Now, two-thirds of older patients that still have a high level of trust for their physician are going to take their medicines. Now, patients without this level of trust will take their medicines maybe 14% of the time. Now, one of the biggest indicators is that patients who do not trust their doctor will not get flu shots, or they may not even get their children vaccinated. Okay. New York Times also said this, with millions of dollars being poured into telemedicine, Americans are still less likely to trust a diagnosis made remotely than made in person. They said also that there also needs to be trust with wearable devices sharing electronic health records for such technologies actually to be useful. Yeah, people are worried about, you know, privacy and things being sent over the wire, you know, and being shared when it shouldn't be. So, you know, this isn't just a U.S. thing. World governments, not just the U.S., are looking at ways to rebuild patient trust. So if you are going to have a one-world government and a healthcare system run by bureaucrats, it runs more smoothly when you have cooperation. However, trust requires trustworthiness. So can governments be trusted? Well, when patients perceive their health system is more about profit than it is about helping people be well, well, then you are going to have an uphill battle. Americans are holding out, and they're the only industrial nation that, you know, has not fully embraced that universal health care. And quite frankly, I think Americans have good instincts and good reasons not to cave into such a regulated system. I think Americans know that they are being deceived in many areas, including healthcare, and they have to seek out the good parts about it and avoid the bad ones. And Americans are not stupid. And when they see the CDC has a patent on human DNA, they ask why. And when they see the government leaders pass laws protecting drug companies from liability lawsuits regarding physical harm from their products, they ask why. Well, the answers are kind of unsettling and, quite frankly, demonic. So the skepticism Americans have towards healthcare is justified until justice and honesty is brought back into the picture. Hey, the mistrust will continue to erode. I know, it's terrible. It really is. But, you know, we've got an alternative healthcare, and that's the blessing out there. We got to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. the solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we were just talking about, you know, how, you know, we tend to make assumptions. You know, we think things before we really check them out. And I encourage people, even with the herbal therapy stuff, you know, do your homework, you know, before you use any product or therapy. So, you know, Apothecary Herbs is dedicated to providing some organic whole food herb formulas that help you cleanse organs, strengthen metabolism, you know, boost immune function. So if you're interested in doing that to protect your health so you can lower the likelihood of needing allopathic medicine, then give them a call and ask for their free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866 929-3663. You can visit their website if you want to place an order there as well, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And they are in the middle of their Father's Day special, which will run through Monday the 18th. So orders of $50 or more will get a 20% discount. So if you want to place an order by phone, you can always ask for the discount as well and place it by phone. So you have a lot of power over your health with diet and medicinal herbs. And how do I know this? Because I read scripture. And God says from Genesis to Revelation, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. So, all right. We are going to be talking about how to look younger. And without all the toxicity, Frank, we just had a show the other day where we talked about the millennials are all into their, you know, plastic surgery and all the risks involved. And even death is a factor, which is the ultimate complication to a procedure is death, and people forget these things. So let's look how we can look younger without, you know, risking all that mess. Now as we get older, we become more interested in ways to look younger, you know, and increase our life expectancy. Oh, Frank, you behave over there. Yes. He has a little comment, but I can't share it with you. Looking into our, you know, healthy lifestyles and, you know, the earlier you start healthier lifestyles in the beginning of your life, the better it is. So if you have a complicated life, you know, your expectancy rates, for health, if you're under a lot of stress, you know, go down a bit. Your risk of early demise, it goes up. So we're going to talk about longevity. Longevity means long life, and we do have some, you know, influence over that. A lot of people think we don't. You know, God decides that. Well, he does decide a lot of things. But you can decide to, you know, abuse your health, and you have that free will to do that. So, living healthy is going to impact how long you will live. And so you start with that healthy lifestyle early on. You'll have fewer problems down the road. So at the age of 60, you know, we tend to not as look as young as we like to, you know. And so we're going to see what we can do to kind of stave off that aging process so we can look as pretty as possible, you know, and help our DNA out as long as possible as well. So world history is full of legends on, you know, looking younger, mysteries and folklore, you know, promoting ways to increase your lifespan. Now, organ transplants and cryogenics is really a modern attempt at the fountain of youth, if you think about it. So how long are we supposed to live? Well, verifying someone's age over 100 takes kind of digging into a lot of records, which can be difficult to find. But the scientists guess that our current maximum lifespan should be about 120 years, with the average person living about 83 years. So if this is accurate, we are doing a whole lot wrong to cheat ourselves out of about 37 years. So if you believe that the CDC and the life expectancy of Americans is increasing based on the death rates have decreased, if you believe that nonsense, well, I have a bridge I want to sell you. So the CDC is saying that the age-related death and a decrease has decreased significantly regarding 8 out of 15 leading causes of death. Things like cancer and heart disease, accidents, diabetes, blood pressure, things like that. I personally don't believe that to be a fact. And because for the second year in a row, they had the mortality rates are looking really bad. So so we're going to be looking at longevity stats for just a minute. So it can be interesting and even eye-opening to discover how long the people of different cultures are living. For instance, there was a significant gap between whites and blacks in America from 1983 to 1993, but the gap got smaller from 1993 to 2000. The correlating data was complicated, but in a nutshell, it came down to heart disease, injuries, infant mortality, and homicides. So according to the 2010 report in the New York Times, 39 million Americans, currently 65 and older, by 2030 have hypothesized that this number will increase by 50% to about 79 million. Well, there's the assumption again. Well, if you have to wonder about the quality of life for the aging population, about 35% over the age of 85, well, they no longer have their natural teeth, and men are 14 times more likely to commit suicide. And world governments use a lot of these statistics to promote their propaganda and also to use the healthcare systems. So I don't mean to be a pessimist here, but the baby boomer generation is getting older, of which I'm one of them. I'm at the tail end, but I am one of them. Plus, the average person looks to the healthcare system for expensive healthcare answers, and they really don't see our lifespan increasing, but we do see it decreasing. So if you are, you know, waiting for the drug companies to come up with some sort of pill that, they can make it from maybe antioxidants out of green tea or red wine to hopefully increase longevity, well, you're going to be waiting a while, okay? While you wait, you may want to have a cup of green tea or a little red wine, but keep in mind that if you take all the relevant factors and that have influenced health, such as improved sanitation, refrigeration, advances in medicine, and it still doesn't change the data, our life tapers off around 100. Nothing's really changed in hundreds of years, really. So this means the average lifespan may have increased, but the maximum lifespan has not. So as long as we have government-run healthcare or any benefits, for those retired, you're never going to see maximum lifespan increase. You can just forget it. Well, let's see. You can actually maximize your personal lifespan now by just doing a few tweaks with your diet, including more of the following nutrition. So I'm going to give you some nutrition. Because overall health experts agree that if we eat more foods that contain anti-aging nutritional elements, that we can be healthier overall and we can live longer. So the general guideline includes more organic fiber, beta-carotene-rich foods, foods with live enzymes. In other words, more raw, less cooked foods. Get more of those phytonutrients in your raw foods. Also natural vitamins, not the synthetic. So you're going to find them in your food, your vitamin C and E and so forth, selenium, the zinc, folic acid, omega-3 fatty acids, that kind of thing. Minerals, you know, if we take all the water away, we're just a pile of minerals, and we're not getting our minerals as well as we should in the food, so we're having to supplement them. I just got a call today about that. Some lady was asking about these colloidal liquid minerals, asking me my opinion. I just told her what I use for minerals. I use sun-dried Celtic sea salt, and it has 84 microminerals in it. And I was asked, well, why is that so great? Well, because our chemistry is really close to ocean water. So the salt comes from the ocean, so the chemistry's close to what we need. And you don't overdo the salt. And sun-dried salt that hasn't been processed doesn't create that hypertension problem. So I just use the salt. I don't use processed salt at all. So if you're interested in learning more about salt, there's a whole chapter of salt in my book, The Power Herbs. You should check it out. It's just $14.99 if you want to get it off the website, because it's an ebook. So you have to download it. So it teaches you about salt. I mean, when I learned about salt, a basic element that not all salts equal and the same. I mean, ocean salt's not the same as Himalayan. Okay? And so you got to know those differences, because your health is depending on getting the right nutrients. All right. So we do have what we call an alphabet food list that we do send out for free. If you want to beef up your diet with some of these rich nutrient, rich foods that will help you live longer and look good for as long as possible. So we send that out for free if you want to get that. Most people request one along with a free catalog, so that's fine. So it's called the Alphabet Food List. Okay. So let's get down to the anti-aging herbs. I know you want to know. Miracle in itself. And this is a miracle from God the Creator. Because these herbs have really life extension nutrition in it, which really is essential, especially as we get older. And plenty of research has really been published on these antioxidant protective effects in these herbs. So we're going to go over a few of them. And one is garlic. If you're Italian, you love garlic. Even if you're not, you might like it. It helps normalize cholesterol levels in your body. And by the way, you don't want to get rid of all the cholesterol in your body using a lot of prescription drugs because your brain uses cholesterol. A lot of your cells need cholesterol. So anti-cholesterol medications are really detrimental in the long run, in my opinion. So garlic will normalize cholesterol. It will also help with blood pressure. It protects you from a lot of free radicals, antioxidants, or usually take care of those free radicals for you. It helps with blood vessels. If you have blood vessel damage, it helps with that. It also deters blood clots. I like to link it up with another herb, which we'll mention in just a minute, to help regulate that clotting factor in the blood so you don't have blood clots. So garlic's there. It also has been known by scientific research to prevent cancer. So garlic. Next up is ginger root. I love ginger root. We use it a lot for nausea, improving digestion. But ginger also helps with blood flow through the digestive system and helps circulation reach lots of small capillaries, especially in your extremities and in your brain. So people that have peripheral neuropathy, which, you know, they're not getting the blood flow to the small capillaries and the nerve endings, are complaining. So ginger is really essential. It does have fatty acids, amino acids, and lots of vitamins and minerals that are real important to health and arthritic conditions. It's great for pain and arthritis. The ancients understood that. So ginger. Ginkgo's on the list. Everyone's heard about ginkgo. Ginkgo for memory, understanding how it accomplishes this. They have no clue. But this herb does help with brain tissue. A lot of studies on ginkgo reveal that it helps with brain function, alertness, mood, memory, concentration, cognitive functions. Studies have noticed also patients with a history of things like headaches and vertigo. When they use ginkgo, it lessens those symptoms. Other studies are showing ginkgo protects cell membranes from damage. So it's very good for stroke patients, you know, recovering from stroke. So, but the secret to using ginkgo is you want to pair it with rosemary and cayenne to get it to the brain material, the brain matter itself. So that's important. Ginseng's on the list. Now a lot of people say, well, what kind of ginseng should I use? Well, there's a couple out there. There's Korean, there's Chinese, there's American, there's Siberian. Ginseng typically has a history of just helping. It has an effect to help us stay young and more vital for longer periods of time. The elderly in the Asian continents, especially China, are never without ginseng. Okay, they like it because it helps them stay alert and agile. So how does ginseng do all that? Well, according to what science thinks, they suspect or assume that ginseng boosts your estrogen and testosterone levels, your hormonal levels, which boosts energy levels and improves even digestion. Ginseng has a kind of a panacea history attached to it, which means, you know, it's going to help your body with whatever it is your body needs help with, kind of thing. Personally, I like to use Siberian or American ginseng. American tends to be more expensive since it's been over-harvested. So keep that in mind if you're looking at ginsengs. Also, I like to use hawthorn berries. And again, here's the one that helps regulate clotting in your blood system. You've got a protein in your blood that supposedly helps regulate clots so that if you cut yourself, you won't bleed too much. And it'll cause a clot, but then it won't make clots in the blood system that causes, you know, aneurysms or pulmonary embolisms and things like that. So hawthorn berries helps this protein in the blood It has a lot of flavonoids in it. The hawthorn has flavonoids, so it helps the protein in your blood, fibrinogen protein is what we call it, regulate things. And what affects that protein in your blood for clotting is diet. It's directly tied to diet. So if you're not having a healthy diet, you're going to get clots. And then most people get put on the blood thinners and things like that. So if you use garlic and use hawthorn berries, actually hawthorn berries has been tested comparing it to the blood thinners, and it worked just as well or better without the toxic risk. So hawthorn berries helps prevent those clots, okay? Milk thistle's on my list as well. I love milk thistle. It's one of my favorite antioxidant herbs for liver health. It helps replace liver cells that are sick or dying. So I love the milk thistle for that. And the other thing is it improves digestion, especially if, in the elderly. The elderly sometimes don't want to eat, so milk thistle helps them with that. So all these herbs that are listed, you'll find at Apothecary Herbs, they do have certified organic herbs. And I was asked the other day, what makes you so different, you know, Apothecary Herbs? Well, we're the company that makes a professional strength formula, so this is what clinicians use, but you can order it directly. You know, naturopaths, chiropractors, these are the people that order this level of product. And so it's a professional strength formula. And it's really the processing that helps with that potency factor. And we naturally age in cold press, and we use only certified organic till standard organic herbs and organic alcohol for the extracts or tinctures. So we're very picky about that quality. And then the aging process really can't be replaced. And most of your companies that sell what typically you see on the shelves at your health food store, they use a forced extraction method. They don't age anything. And so when you use a forced extraction method, you create heat and you sacrifice potency, because herbs are very much heat sensitive. So if you just take the time, you do it the right way, then what you get is top shelf game changer formulations. And that's what Apothecary Herbs is. So I would say, you know, just try it, because they do have a money back guarantee. And so if you're not completely satisfied, you can get a refund on your purchase price. And I don't see doctors and pharmacies doing that. Do you? I don't think so. They should, but they don't. All right, so thepowerherbs.com, if you want to check them out online, you can download their catalog from the website, or you can request one to be mailed to you free of charge, or you typically call the catalog hotline at 866-229-3663. Leave your information there, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you want to order a catalog over the internet and have it mailed to you, you could do it that way too. So there's lots of ways to order, lots of ways to get your products and information, because we're really dedicated to educating our consumer. Because when you've got the right instructions and a quality tool, then you have that success you're looking for. All right, so I got a few minutes, and I really don't have time to go into in any good detail this segment that I wanted to talk about. Some of these studies regarding dairy milk products. Actually, there was a scientist by the name of Jane Plant. She published some discoveries on chemo treatment for breast cancer. And while she was doing it, she's a geochemist. She's actually a chief scientist at the British Geological Survey. And she wrote this book called Your Life in Your Hands. And it's really about the negative effect that dairy has with regard to breast cancer. So her work was awarded the British Highest Science Award. And she got the Lord Killigrand Prize. And so in a nutshell, really, what it is her husband actually noticed that in the West, 1 in 10 women get breast cancer. And in Ireland, 1 in 14 get breast cancer. But in China, 1 in 10,000 women get breast cancer, because people of the Asian continent usually don't drink or use a lot of milk products from cows. And they discovered women in China actually avoid milk, and they won't. You won't see them eating yogurt or cheese, ice cream, having milkshakes, pudding, a glass of milk with their, you know, chocolate chip cookies. They don't do that. And so after 6 rounds of chemotherapy, they noticed when you take the milk out of the diet and you scrutinize every product looking for milk, hidden milk and everything else, your tumors disappear completely. Just getting the milk out of the diet. I've never liked cow's milk. It took me a long time to learn that I was allergic to it, you know. You know, you grow up, your family gives it to you, and you just, you know, it's one of them staple items. And until, you know, you kind of go off it for 2 weeks, and you notice you feel better, right? The dark circles under your eyes go away. Your drippy little nose goes away. Your allergies are not a problem anymore, kind of thing. Your eczema clears up. You don't get throat infections, tonsillitis, or strep throat anymore because you're not drinking milk. And you notice that your ear infections go away. Yeah. I mean, you'd be amazed what you can get used to and getting used to not having milk. And with all the substitutes they have out there, it's easy to give up milk. And don't forget cheese. People forget cheese all the time. They'll go, well, I don't drink milk. I don't eat ice cream. I don't have a sweet tooth. But I go, okay, so what about the cheese? And there's this pause. Yeah, I may have some cheese here and there. Well, you know, cheese, a slice of cheese is 10 times the concentration of milk. So a slice of cheese is like 10 glasses of milk. They have no idea. Really? Mm-hmm. So you got to get the cheese out. And a lot of people have, you know, sinus infections, and they don't realize they're allergic to milk and cheese and all that stuff. So if you've been plagued with these conditions, and a lot of people are, and they go get drugs and antibiotics, and they're still not any better. Well, try changing the diet. It's what you're putting in the body usually, okay? So you have a lot of control over that diet. Remember, if you go from an unhealthy to a clean, healthy diet, in 7 days you've already changed your DNA for the better. That's how powerful food is. So if that's how powerful nutritional food is, think how powerful medicinal herbs are, right? Right? They're bitter typically because they move a lot of body fluids. They move blood and mucus out of the system. And I was being interviewed just the other night, and I said, well, if you had a bowl of strawberries in front of you and a bowl of bitter herbs, which one do you want to eat? Well, of course, the interviewer says, well, the bowl of strawberries, of course. Well, yeah, you can eat a bunch of that, right? Because it's a nutritional food source. But the bitter herbs are a medicinal source. So God made them bitter because they're very powerful and concentrated, so you only eat a little bit. So that makes sense to kids if they ever ask you, Mom, why does this taste so yucky? Because it's powerful. You only need a little bit. And they get it. So are you. Well, almost out of time, but don't forget Father's Day special going on through the 18th at thepowerherbs.com. You'll save 20% on orders of $50 or more. So take advantage of that and stock up. Get your cleanses, get your allergy formulas, get your immune boosters, get your natural dog collars for your Fido out there or kitty cat. You know, protect them from those fleas without all the toxicity. Well, the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, wishing you a good weekend, and until next time, be well.